Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Mr. Kaivan Yazdi, the founder and CEO at a leading IT and cybersecurity firm known as TrueAdvantage. They are based in the Bay Area, San Jose, California. Kaivan, thanks for your time, and let's go ahead and get started, please.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm excited about the talk.
That's awesome. Hey, we looked up your bio. We always do this in our guests. You know, we do a Google search, check out your website and your LinkedIn profile. And you seem to have a very deep and a very rich background in cybersecurity and even IT management. And can you tell us some of the highlights here of your career, please?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to welcome everybody to the show. It's a pleasure and honor to be here. In terms of my background, I always thought I'm going to be an electrical engineer. That's really what I thought I'm going to be. Till the first day at time, my uncle's computer got infected with a killer virus, and I cleaned it up. And from that moment on, I knew that was my passion: computers, cybersecurity, and all those things. In terms of my education, I went to San Jose State, got my double major in computer science and mathematics. But since the age of 18, 19, I was doing a lot of self-study and getting IT certification because that was really my passion. So I got my Microsoft certification along the time that I was doing my school. I got my Cisco certification, Citrix and VMware, and also got involved with some HIPAA compliance certifications. After getting all the certifications, I was doing a lot of IT work. I worked as an IT manager and a chief information security officer for 1,000-plus healthcare clinic here in the Bay Area with 40 locations. So that gave me a lot of insight about what's going on in the industry, especially the healthcare industry. And so I worked, and there was a gap in terms of going back to school, but around 2010, I went back to school, got my master's, and I got my MBA. With the area of leading teams and technology management from Santa Clara University. So that's been our path, and it's been exciting so far.
Well, it sounds awesome. I want to throw just one extra question. I mean, you have a great array of certifications. In fact, I've tried to get mine too in the CISSP, and I miserably failed at it. I'm going to try to get in here eventually, but I've had a lot of questions asked for me from, like, my audience. And as a writer, I've written a lot of articles on certifications, especially in cybersecurity. What is the worth of these certifications these days? I mean, I know there's so many of them out there. I mean, what are your opinions on that?
I can give you a better opinion on the IT side of things for the security. And I got to tell you, right now, even at TrueAdvantage, our company, we look at it. We are a heavily Microsoft-focused company. So Microsoft, Cisco, Citrix, those are really big things. It gives us a lot of good ideas about the person, how disciplined they are, and, of course, your passion. Because when you get certification, that means you're passionate about what you do. That's really something you do on your side. And it plays a big role in the level of knowledge that they bring to the table. One of the things that is happening in our industry, Ravi, is that fortunately or unfortunately, these certifications, these Microsoft, Cisco, Google, all these things, are actually ahead of schools and universities in terms of what's needed out there. And that's really what the value of certification comes in.
Gotcha. Okay, interesting. Now, why did you start TrueAdvantage? What made you leave your previous job and start an IT and cybersecurity company?
Good question. From early ages, I always knew I had an entrepreneurial spirit. I always knew there is something in me that I kind of want to utilize and maximize my potential. So that was really one thing that I had in mind. And while I was working with a lot of IT consulting firms and, things that we were doing for them, I was just a consultant for these companies. I realized there is a big gap going on. I would say a gap or a disconnect between how they deliver their services, how cybersecurity is completely missed and it's only looked at from one perspective, how there's a lack of a strategic guidance and directions to these small and medium businesses. And I always knew if one day I want to create something, I want to be able to serve these small and medium businesses better, and I want to be able to really go beyond just solving their problems. I want to help them optimize and also protect their business more effectively. That's really one of the reasons that I realized if I, you know, we need something a little better than that. So that gap really became my motivation. That's how True Advantage was born. I'm glad to say that even in our slogan, if you look at our slogan, we say solve, optimize, grow. Yes, we solve your issues. We are technical people, but we want to be more than that, and you want us to be more than that. We want to become that optimizer for your business, for your company, impact your bottom line, impact your security, protect your sensitive data, and at the same time, hopefully, with optimization, give you a competitive advantage where you can grow faster, and that's really where True Advantage comes in and differentiates itself from others.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how long has True Advantage been in business?
True Advantage, that's another interesting question. So we really, I was doing site consulting myself for companies since 2001. But the True Advantage formally got formed where we, you know, I wasn't working anymore. I was fully focused on it in 2010. And an interesting part about that is we used to be called Medicnology, a combination of the word medical technology, because medical and healthcare was all the only clients we had and focused on at the time. We were an IT and cybersecurity focused company for healthcare industry. That was really our niche. Around 2004, we realized that we were getting a lot of referrals, and Bay Area kind of knew more about us at the time, and we started getting a lot of financial firms, law firms, and nonprofits, and we realized that our name is not telling anymore. Our name is not in line with who we are, and we ran a focus group from our clients. The word advantage came out as the main keyword that we delivered to our clients, and that's how we rebranded ourselves to True Advantage to have a more encompassing name that goes beyond healthcare. And that name really made us completely cybersecurity focused, because now our niche was not a healthcare focused IT company. Our niche changed from a healthcare focused IT company to a cybersecurity focused IT company. So we can apply that to a law firm, to a financial firm, to a nonprofit, to small and medium businesses pretty much. So that's really how our identity came from. The 70% of our clients, we work with 100 plus clients in the Bay Area and out of the Bay Area, even out of California, but 70% of our clients are still healthcare clinics, medical practices, and we have about 30-35% non-healthcare law firms, accounting firms, nonprofits, and that's where we are today. But it's the numbers changing pretty much every year. Like next year, if I talk to you, probably would be 50-50.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do hope you come back and talk to us even sooner than next year. So, anyway, well, now does True let me see here. Now, does True Advantage have a presence in other countries as well? I mean, you seem to be very well niched and established in the Bay Area. Are you located, do you have different locations in the U.S. and other countries as well?
Yes, we do. I mean, we are still within California. We do have a satellite office in Bakersfield, which is in Southern California. And our next plan for end of 2019 is Sacramento area. Sacramento has a lot of potential, and it's still very pretty close to us. And that's the plan. We do have clients that are out of California. We have clients in Arizona, Florida, and a number of our clients in Southern California. And also, we do have clients that have branches in China and Middle East, so we serve them with our 24/7 support process that they have in place. We don't have any offices or anything in China or those countries, but we do support their offices.
Okay, excellent. Now, who's your typical customer base like? Who are you trying to target, the small and medium-sized businesses, probably people like myself, or the much larger companies like the Fortune 500, or is it a combination of both these perhaps?
It's an evolving process for us. We started when you're smaller, you know how it is. You pretty much get whoever becomes your client at the time. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to say no to certain prospects at this point. So our ideal client profile right now, as I call it, are typically between 15 to 100 users. So I'm going to give you a physical aspect of our clients, and then I'm going to give you an intangible / psychological aspect that we look at to make sure that client is a good fit for us. On the physical side, They're 15 to 100. They might have an IT department. They might not have. So typically more than 50, they have an IT department. We supplement that IT department with our co-managed IT and cybersecurity. And they're on the psychological persona side of things, we very much look at if they value three things: technology, security, and compliance. Things matter to them. If it doesn't matter to them and they're just looking for solvers, people, just technicians to solve their problems, we typically say no. We want to work with people that look at IT as a strategic resource, not just something that they need to solve their problems today. And so we can deliver on that promise of solve, optimize, grow. And it's always a better relationship. It's a beautiful, really, really productive relationship. When we have those relationships with those management, with those decision makers that have that type of mentality, we call it persona. They have that kind of persona where the security compliance matter to them and they're willing to spend time on it and spend budget on it. Those are very important for us. So I always recommend that to any small to medium business, any business, that make sure your audience, you just don't categorize your audience based on their size, their location, and their industry. Getting to the persona side, getting to the psychological side to see who they are as a company and what they value, because that relationship is going to be a long-term relationship and you want to make sure you're getting to it right with the right people.
Excellent. Now, let's dive deeper into your product line. What lines of businesses does your company offer? I mean, I've seen your website. You're kind of like segregate out into cybersecurity and then cloud stuff. So can you kind of give us an overview?
Sure. So it's actually really nicely laid out on our website because we had a lot of thought behind how we're going to go about this and what are the core competencies that we deliver as a company. Of course, managed IT, as we call ours, Total Care. Our Total Care, our managed IT, is one of the core competencies that we deliver to our clients. And within that managed IT, we have our managed cloud. We have our managed voice over IP phones. We do have our own phone system that we deliver to our clients. So that's another differentiating factor sometimes for us. And then managed business continuity is a solution that we provide to our clients, and it's very popular. So on the managed IT side, those are the top things. And then we have our managed cybersecurity, where we deliver our cybersecurity and security solutions to our clients. And there's a number of sub-solutions, as you call it, under that, that we bundle together and we deliver to our clients. We call right now, managed security is a little easier to understand, but internally and within our clients, they know that as our Secure 360. So Secure 360 is the name of that solution, which is a combination of solutions, and it addresses cybersecurity in the three layers that I can go over a little more later, which is people, technology, and processes.
Okay, very good. Now, there are obviously a lot of cybersecurity vendors, especially out in the Bay Area. What's your area that separates you from the other vendors? Like, why should a customer come to you first and say, hey, Kaivan, I want you to solve my problems. Why should I go to company XYZ? Why do they come to you first? Or what separates you from the crowd? Let me ask.
Good question. We're still working on that question, Robbie. that's another evolving part of any business of, what is our unique selling proposition? What makes us different from others? And what is the value clients would get from us? As I mentioned, that used to be our healthcare focus at the time, where when we were a healthcare focused company, we didn't need to do anything. Medical practices and clinics would just come to us because we were healthcare focused. We would not only help them out with IT, we would help them out with flow optimization within their practice, with HIPAA compliance. HIPAA compliance was a huge thing. It is still a huge thing, and we do actually provide training for HIPAA compliance for this staff. We deliver all of our solutions based on HIPAA compliance. So those were the things that would differentiate us. Now, when we became True Advantage serving non-healthcare clients, cybersecurity became a differentiating factor for us. And I can't tell you enough, where I go to a client, to a sales meeting, which is, we which is our discovery meeting, our first meeting. And we did look at us, all right, they need IT. And I tell them, by the way, these are all the security things that you need to work on. We don't even, haven't even engaged with this client yet. Why? Because we ran their dark web report and we found out of the 40 people that they have at the office, 30 of them have compromised username and passwords. They're like, wow, their jaw drops. Like, what the hell is this? And that they see the level of expertise and you know, the niche that we bring in, and that's been a very differentiating factor for us. So cybersecurity is the number one thing that differentiates us from the generic IT solution providers, and that's been huge. Another factor that plays a big role is our strategic guidance that we do to our clients on a regular basis. One of the things, Robbie, one of the biggest problems right now with small and medium businesses that these companies don't have an IT department. They don't have an IT department. They cannot afford to have one. They cannot afford to have like a CTO or a chief technology officer. We want to play that role. And the way we play that role is the way we deliver our total care to them with our strategic business reviews on a regular basis, with our policy creations, with our conversations on a regular basis, helping them optimize more, save costs, save time, and that's been a huge thing. So I would say cybersecurity and strategic guidance are the top two things that are the differentiating factors for us.
Excellent. Sounds awesome. Now, can you share any customer success stories or any testimonials, case studies that have used your product services that our audience can understand?
Of course. Actually, we have plenty of videos and good case studies on our website. If they go to our website on /clients/trueadvantage.com/clients, they'll see that. So that's one area. But one example that I always share, and this example is a combination of cybersecurity and business continuity, is one of our biggest clients in the Bakersfield, and 250 people, 5 locations, big clinic down there. They needed a business continuity solutions for their EMR system. Their EMR system, we did an analysis for them. Every hour, if they go down and they're down for 1 hour, just 1 hour, it's about $10,000 of lost revenue. So think about being down for 12 hours, that's $120,000 for that 1 day. So we wanted to make sure we have like a full business continuity practicing solution in place there so we can, in case something happens to the servers or to the EMR servers, the one that kind of receives the patients and puts the information in there, they can be up and running either right away or maybe maximum 15 minutes. So what we did, we had a solution called Total Protect. We, after a lot of going back and forth to the drawing board, we delivered our customized Total Protect for them, where we were able to replicate all IT infrastructure into our Total Protect. And what Total Protect does, it actually creates a clone or a replica of your servers into this device, and then it syncs it to the cloud. So if you, may God forbid, something happens to one of the servers, we can actually bring it up within less than 15 minutes, and end users would not know, they don't even know the difference. They'll be connecting and they'll be working. Worst case scenario, if your whole office, may God forbid, your whole IT room is on fire and all the servers are destroyed, we actually can get those servers boot up in the cloud, and they've already been tested, so their office is already connected to the cloud in case something happens. So we get the servers up and running, everybody connects, and the maximum downtime for that would be maybe 1 hour, while you know, the IT room, if it's flooded or if it's on fire or if the whole thing, if the whole all the servers are down, while that's been worked on, that could be months. They can work off the cloud till the IT room is set up, and then as soon as the IT room and servers are back, you sync it back and they're up and running. So this means really that true business continuity means a lot more than backup and disaster recovery. A lot of people confuse this too. There is backup and disaster recovery, which is great, but you might be down 4 days, 10 days, but you're going to get your data and you're going to be eventually up and running. And there is business continuity, where continue doing business regardless of what happens to your servers, to your IT infrastructure. And so that's one important distinction that I want to make sure everybody understands, and that's one of the best cases that we set up for pretty much our biggest client at this point, and that means true business continuity for them. They haven't really experienced any downtime because of this solution. Servers go, they sometimes go down, they're unavailable. TotalProtect is right there to give them that business continuity, and it's been one of the best investments they've made and one of the most exciting projects I've worked on.
Excellent. Do you have any success stories left to share with us too?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is more on this is one of the cybersecurity examples that happened to. So we have a financial client, financial industry client here in San Francisco, and we had a hard time selling them. And they're one of our bigger clients as well. They had a hard time selling them our Secure 360. If you notice, I shouldn't even say selling them. Really, it was a solution we knew they needed it. And to be honest with you, Ravi, our Secure 360, this is just some internal information for us. It's not even that profitable for us. It's not the most profitable solution for us. But because it's so important, and I know the peace of mind that I'm going to have, and our clients are going to have later, we heavily embedded into our TotalCare and make sure they subscribe to it. Anyways, they subscribe to it, and 6 a.m. in the morning one day, I get an alert. I don't really get any alerts anymore unless it's like really, really high level. And it was about ransomware being detected on the computer of the CFO of that company. And I was like, wow, this sounds pretty serious. And the important thing is the CFO's computer has access to all the files, the synthetic files, and you know how ransomware works. I mean, it could not only encrypt your file servers. Actually, there are more advanced ransomware out there that actually encrypt your backup, and I can give you some example of that, meaning that if, and there's been cases that they've actually got to your cloud backup if you have a channel from your servers and encrypted that. I mean, imagine that your local data is encrypted, your backup is encrypted, and your cloud backup is encrypted. You're pretty much dead. There's nothing left. So this what happened to the CFO was he was working at 2 a.m., clicked on something, got ransomware. Fortunately, he had a ransomware protection, which is connected to our 24/7 security operations center. We have people, you know, getting alerts and working on things right away. So we do have that, our 24/7 security operations center. Around 2 a.m., that happens. And the beautiful thing is that our SOC, our 24/7 SOC, notices a rapid change of files on his computer, which is a ransomware symptom typically. Because ransomware, you can't really, it's not a signature-based thing. It's a behavioral thing. You need to look at the behavior of your computers or your data, and then based on that, determine if your computer has been infected by ransomware or not. Well, guess what? This computer was having a high level of, you know, data change going on, and that's really what ransomware does. And within 5 minutes, using our ransomware protection, the ransomware isolated that computer from the network, and he was working at home, but his home has a site-to-site VPN to our office, to the main office, so he had full access to all the servers from home. And the beautiful thing is that his network card got shut down, the computer got isolated, and the ransomware started, the protection that we had, started on, you know, rolling back all the changes. And he was not happy in the morning because he didn't know what's going on. He just went to bed sleep. He was like, all right, something's wrong with my computer. I'm going to yell at my IT team tomorrow. And it turned out that this is what happened. When we told him what happened, he was like, wow, you guys, you know, that could have pretty much impacted my whole business. It could have impacted all my data. We could have lost clients. We could have lost the whole business with this. And he really got saved with that little thought that he put in going with our, you know, Secure 360 solution. And the computer was rolled back the computer was pretty much normal the next day within like 10 minutes. We just needed to double check certain things. And that's one of the best stories I see of why people need to invest in security. Because you're not dealing with just some files anymore. You're dealing with yourself. You're dealing with your company. You're dealing with your staff that, you know, if you go down as a company, your staff are going to lose their jobs, their families. There's going to be a lot of people impacted by these things.
Wow. Now, we're going to was going to be probably a precursor to the next question, but I'm still going to ask it. Have you done any work with some of the latest cybersecurity threats? And I kind of view the latest ones more like with regards to critical infrastructure, you know, like our gas pipelines, food supply, water supply. And the other one, I just wrote a piece for a client a couple months ago. In fact, I'll be meeting with him on Tuesday. Is on the crypto jacking, you know, the bitcoins and, you know, using hijacking other people's computers to harness their electrical power and processing power, you know, to illegally mine for the bitcoins and other virtual currencies. Have you done any work on those yet, or?
We haven't really done any work on that area. The biggest thing for us, because our clients, what we deal with is based on the patterns that we notice, what's going on within our clients' industries, and they're based on the size that they have. And honestly, for us, the biggest thing is it's a very simple thing. It's phishing. Right now, phishing is the most dangerous cybersecurity threat to our clients. And one of the things that we've done, and if you look at our website, we have that. Phishing is a basic thing, but there's been cases where it actually destroyed businesses because of the data that they revealed based on the phishing. And they're getting more and more sophisticated. And now there's these groups of hackers that actually go into this observing mode where they observe, and I'm going to emphasize on the word observe, meaning they're patient and they're just looking at you for 90 days, for 120 days, for 6 months before they launch their plan. And a lot of those plans come through phishing emails that you would think you got it from your CFO or CEO. We had one of our clients, it's a medical practice, and it happened on the personal level for him. It wasn't involved at the business level, so that's good news. But on his personal level, he just moved. He got an email from his accountant through phishing, and thinking that it's the, you know, accountant. And I want to make the long story short. He ended up moving his 401k. I think it was about $30,000 of it, not the whole thing, from one account to another account based on the recommendation of the accountant. And guess what? There was no accountant. It was just a well-planned person that pretended to be the accountant, but and then got the money, and it's gone forever. But here's the deal. That person who did this, that means, think about the planning they did. They got to know your accountant. They got to know the verbiage of your accountant. Things that are happening at a very deep level. And at the end, the main attack got carried out through phishing. So for us, it's been really phishing. And for that, our security awareness training is huge on phishing. We do a lot of phishing simulation. We do a lot of phishing security awareness training. Overall, we have a system. It's on our website where you, on a regular basis, our clients get trained and they get rated, and that those ratings get shared with the management. We have clicker rates, meaning we know who are the clickers clicking on the links that they shouldn't, and they get extra training. And we have USB testing, where you go to the conference room and, you know, you find this little USB thing, and we'll be testing you whether to see if you're going to connect that USB to your computer or not. You're going to get notified, so we do that. We do vishing, where, you know, we call you for a voicemail, and we'll see how much data we can extract from you being pretending that you're someone else. So we do a lot of those things, and a lot of it is because a lot of these things come from phishing, meaning voicemail, and then through text. So those are really the top things for us that are affecting our clients.
Right. I've written in my blogs many times that, you know, the cyber attacker, they're getting away from these smash and grab campaigns where they just throw everything on a server and just try to get everything all at once. I mean, they really are taking their time to really profile a victim or a potential victim. And, you know, the idea is to stay in for long periods of time, take the PII, you know, small bits, you know, small chunks of data. And then when they leave, you know, it's too late for the victim to really realize what's happened to them until it's years later. I mean, it's a scary thing, you know. And the second thing I've been writing about, you know, phishing is, people think it's an old-fashioned way of doing things, you know, and it's gonna die out. But phishing, there's so many new variants of that coming out these days. I mean, people need to be aware. In fact, I just wrote a blog piece, you know, on, you know, what's a real website anymore? Because even my computer was kind of hacked into a couple months ago. I was of all things, visiting a cybersecurity, you know, website, you know, and all of a sudden I was copying their contact information into a Word doc and somehow I picked up a malware virus. I don't know. I even don't know how it happened.
Wow.
I mean, the cyber attacks have gotten so sophisticated. I mean, like, they can imitate, they can even inject malicious, you know, like SQL code into a, into your own real website. You don't even know about it. And when a victim goes to it, it's like, yeah, well, you know, what do I do? You know, it's just, so, yeah, that's my 2 cents worth. So I ended up buying a new computer. Well, I was going to do that anyway down the road, but yeah.
Adding to that, Robbie, adding to your point is it's this doctor that I was telling you about, the 401k thing, that happened to him in May. He realized that in December. That's what 7 months? Because he needed to do his taxes or something. I don't know what he was doing. And he realized, oh, let me go back to my other 401k account. And then they're like, oh, where is it? It's just like,
yeah,
things happen to you. You're not going to be things that are happening on your computer today that you don't know because they're not doing anything. They're just gathering data, but they are in. That's really what it is.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's why I'm always checking financial, you know, my online accounts twice a day, and my credit cards online stuff at least 2 to 3 times a day just to make sure, so I'm being proactive and make sure I stay on it. That's very important. You need to be doing that, you know.
Exactly.
So, now, as we, this kind of gives us a good preview into the next deep question here. How do you foresee the cyber threat landscape changing and evolving in the coming years? I mean, it's just changing every day. I mean every day when I scour the news headlines for a blog post, something's going on. I mean, even just to this morning, before our show, I was trolling through a headline to see what I could write about. It's like everywhere someone's getting smashed. You know, I think there was some restaurant, you know, they got hacked into, you know, or something, and I don't know. It's just every day you keep hearing something going on. There's some city, I think, that got really hit bad with ransomware. I think somewhere down south in the U.S. I don't remember the name exactly. What do you see happening? I mean, is this thing just finally going to end one day? The cyber attacker says enough's enough. I'm just tired. Let's move on. Maybe let's move on to critical infrastructure. I mean, what are your thoughts then? You know, you being a cybersecurity professional for so long, I mean, what are your thoughts?
I really think definitely, well, first of all, this is definitely not going to stop. It's going to only get more sophisticated because one thing we need to bear in mind is that 20 years ago, you were a medical practice. Everything you had was on paper. We love technology. We love digitizing things. It makes it easy. Now you go to a medical practice, you don't see those cases and files and folders anymore. They're all gone, the Manila folders and all those things. But they are somewhere. They are on your computer. They're in a digital format. And it makes it so easily accessible to the outside world if they have access to it. It's not, they don't need to come to your office anymore. They can sit somewhere in, I don't know, Russia or China or anywhere, you know, or even U.S., and, you know, with a good plan, access that data, access your patient records, and pretty much destroy your business. And so technology is a curved sword. I mean, it's a double-edged sword when you think about it. It gives you all the beautiful things. It gives you efficiency. It gives you speed. It gives you convenience. But it gives convenience to you and the hackers. So you got to understand that. And that's really what's going on. It gives convenience to everyone. So I would say one of the things we've noticed recently, and I think it's going to get more and more, is going to be these well-planned attacks that requires a lot of patience and observation. We've seen sophistication happening in that area. That's one of the things that is happening where hackers are in your computer, but they're not doing anything, and they're just in the observant mode till they gather the data that they need, and then they attack. So that's one of the things that we've noticed more and more. Another important development in the cybersecurity and attacks is that one thing I always tell our clients is that just because you're small, just because you're 50 people or 70 people, don't think, or 10 people, don't think you're not going to be attacked. Guess what's going on in that realm? You're actually, the rate of SBS, small and medium businesses, getting attacked is going higher and higher year by year. Why? Because of exactly of that mentality. The owners of these small medium businesses think, oh, we're small. Nobody cares about us. Nobody cares about our data. Well, guess what? Because of that mentality, you don't put in the right solutions and processes and policies in place, you're definitely a lot more exposed than Microsoft and those bigger companies, because they're spending money protecting themselves. And hackers know that. Hackers know that that's the mentality of small and medium business owners, and they've started focusing on those. And from those, they find channels to get access to even more data to some of these bigger companies. What's going on? Small and medium businesses are going to go under more attack over the next years, and there's going to be more sophistication. And here's what I really always share with everyone when they ask me about, so who are these hackers? Well, hackers, they're not these little kids sitting at their mommy's basement anymore and working on things once in a while and then going to school the next day. There is organized groups of hackers and cyber criminals working together with Shift. It was our, like a real company. And they're attacking and creating plans. They're smart. Some of them, I'm sure a lot of them have been to school and high level, you know, they have high level education. And a lot of these kids and people, and some of them are not kids, they start as a passion, and then they see the taste of money and how easily they can get it, and it becomes their career, not knowing it's a criminal career that they've developed, but it's a gradual thing that happens. But they're not kids anymore. These are organized groups. These are sometimes companies that are working together, and they're working on sophistication of creating new software that can attack and not be detected. So that software development for cyber criminals is another area that is getting really, really developed on an annual basis. Like every year when I look at a new things that are out there for hackers, it's just pretty interesting. And we see those things because we go to a lot of cybersecurity conferences. We go to a lot of cybersecurity workshops. And we are a big fan of Kevin Mitnick. I don't know if you know Kevin Mitnick, the biggest hacker pretty much that existed. He even went to prison, and then now he does ethical hacking, and he's got like a security awareness training company. And I go to his workshops, and what he does in 30 seconds scares me. Oh my God, it's just like I can't believe how easy it is for certain people to get access to our data.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, from your experience and knowledge, what will be the biggest cyber threat? That one thing. BEC, ransomware, the crypto mining, new variants of phishing. What do you think that one threat's going to be here in 2019?
I would say these BEC or, you know, the phishing is going to be the biggest thing for especially small and medium businesses. It's going to get a lot more sophisticated, and there's going to be compromised data. That's been our focus in 2019 and even 2020. There's a lot of training and a lot of policies we're putting in place to make sure phishing gets minimized, because it's getting better and better and better developed on a daily basis, and there's more and more people falling to the trap.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you another question here. The Internet of Things, I've written about it. I've had people ask me about it. I've asked people about it. I think it's a scary thing, because it's just too many connections. I know the idea is to automate our lifestyle, make it easier, but there's so many interconnections, you know, smart homes, smart cities, you know, clapping your hands, making your oven turn on. In fact, my financial advisor, I just met him a few weeks ago. I mean, he has a smart car. I mean, he literally just clapped his hands, his car pulled out for him. It was that scary, you know, and it just seems like that just makes that a much more increased attack service for the cyber attacker. What are your thoughts on IoT? I mean, have you done any work on that? I find IoT to be very scary. I really don't want to have any part of it, but what are your viewpoints on that?
I'm kind of on the same page as you. I do have my fears about IoT. I love the idea, and I love the convenience that it brings into our lives. Right? I mean, think about your controlling your home, controlling your cameras at home. A lot of things can go wrong, and if funny thing about these IoT, the new IoT devices, they're not that strong in terms of security yet, and they're very exposable. There's a lot of holes in them that if people focus on it, criminals focus on it, they're going to be able to get access. It's pretty scary, having someone control your cameras, having someone control your car, having someone do malicious acts to your house, for example, turning on the oven or stuff like that. I mean, now we're not dealing with data anymore. We're dealing with your day-to-day life. I have the same fears, and I'm actually waiting to see how the industry develops in that area and what, you know, what solutions and what kind of protection people are going to get, because IoT, a lot of these devices, we've done a couple of basic ones using Amazon services, and it's basic text, it's basic coding now, and like if it's just easy to create it, probably it's pretty easy to hack it as well.
Right. Okay, finally, as we wrap up our show here, I get asked this many times, and I ask my guests, what do you recommend for people and small businesses to protect themselves and their environment from cyber hacks and cyber attacks? What are those? Do you have a laundry list of items, or what do you recommend?
No, I'll narrow it down to two things that is pretty much the core of what we do here at True Advantage as well. Number one is, thing I want to say to small and medium business owners and decision makers is, change your mentality if you think you're too small and you're not going to be attacked. As a matter of fact, you're going to have a higher chance of being attacked in 2-3 years than a lot of bigger companies out there. And that's one of the reasons hackers want to attack you, because you don't put the right solutions in place thinking that you're too small and you don't have any valuable data. So change that mentality. You guys are being attacked right now, and it's going to get only worse. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, please, please think of security and cybersecurity as a three-legged chair. That's why I always tell them, think of a chair. It's got three legs. And always remember, if one of those legs is missing, that your whole chair is going to come down. It doesn't matter what the other two legs are doing. And so what are the three legs for security? A lot of people think security is just about technology. I just need a good firewall. I just need the latest and greatest antivirus, and I'm going to be good. That's great. That's one of your legs. That's your technology leg. There's two more legs to this. The second leg is your people. It doesn't matter how good your technology is. If your people are opening the door, it doesn't matter how thick that door is. People are going to come in. Criminals are going to come in. Train your people. Make sure you have a good security awareness training plan at your company that gets tracked and it's reviewed on a regular basis. Make sure that's out there. And the third leg of security for your company would be policy implementation. Policy is extremely important. Policy is, I'm talking about, what is the password policy you have? What kind of policy do you have when there's a breach at your company? What are the actions that gets done? What is the policy for your disaster recovery in case, you know, a disaster happens? This is not technology anymore. These are written practices that a company has and does on a regular basis. Are you changing your passwords on a regular basis? Are you using two-factor authentication on your mobile devices, on your laptops and mobile, you know, on your cell phones? All those little things, all those little policies that you put in place is going to matter a lot. So remember, people, technology, and policy. You need all three legs for that chair to stay up.
Okay. Just one last question here. When you're talking about the technology, 2FA, I know that biometrics is starting to become a big thing. Like, you know, on the iPhone, they have, like, you know, the Face ID and the Touch ID. What are your thoughts on that, on biometrics?
I love it. I mean, as long as it doesn't get hacked one day, I think it's actually it's an extra layer of security if it's done right, and at the same time, it brings a lot more convenience. Now, I don't know. I'm not an expert in it to tell you how easily it is to hack it, or, I mean, they read your, you know, thumbnails, and they look at your eye, and through your eye you can get into places. How can you replicate? What's the next thing for cyber criminals to do, you know, to hack that and get access? I don't know, but at least we know that our fingerprints are pretty unique. We'll see how that's going to be replicated.
Right.
I'll tell you my little story, though, and that was a problem in, I think it was one of my Samsung phones. I'm an Android guy. But one of the things I noticed on one of those that I don't know, one of the first companies that came up with, you know, you were able to log into your phone by just looking at it. Everybody calls it different features, but the phone, the face recognition thing. So that was really exciting, but this was early days. This is 3-4 years ago, but we took a picture of me and we put that picture in front of my phone, and I was able to unlock my phone. That was pretty scary.
Oh,
But again, that was 4 years ago. We've tested it recently. It doesn't work anymore. But, you know, things like that could happen.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, biometrics is not the – it's a much better tool, but something like with facial recognition, I know it's still an evolving technology. So, but anyway, well, Kaivan, thank you so much for your time this weekend. We really enjoyed this conversation. We hope to, you know, have our podcast with you here in the near future.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed the conversation, and I wish everyone a good day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.